Okay, so peace, brothers and sisters. I want to welcome you to this week's Black Wallets Matter Town Hall meeting. My name is Brother Lou, and I will be your host. If this is your first time calling in, I want to run down a few ground rules for how we manage these calls. They usually last for about 2 hours. If we have a good one, we can extend it a bit. And if, you know, this call is kind of whack, then we can just end it early. All right, so let me just say in advance, we appreciate you coming to hang out with us. I hope you're feeling inspired and empowered tonight because you are on a platform with a group of like-minded brothers and sisters who have come together for the purposes of discussing solutions to many of the problems we face in our Black community in an organized and in an intelligent manner. So if you remember when you called in, I addressed you as either brother or sister, and the reason we address one another as such is to show you respect and as a sign of solidarity. So during these calls, we do not discuss religion, we do not discuss the Black male and female dynamic, and we do not discuss political party affiliation. We can discuss politics as it relates to Black people here in America and how we can use it to improve our situation, but we don't want to get into a discussion about which party did this and which party didn't do that. The reason we don't discuss these topics is because they are all opinion-based, which means no one is right, no one is wrong, and we will be here all night arguing, going round and round in circles, and not being productive. So for the guests on the call, I usually start explaining what Black Wallets Matter is, right? We are a member association. But from the things, I've been having some interesting phone calls, conversations, and interactions this week. And, right, essentially what we try to explain to people about what we're doing here is we're trying to get together a group of brothers and sisters who are so pissed off and sick and tired of the sad state of affairs in our community that they are motivated to take action, some kind of action, right? If they're motivated to take action, then we're saying, okay, well, then the next thing you need to know is then what's the plan, right? So we have the problems. We all know the problems. The problems are numerous. But we say, let's boil it down to three problems. And the problems that we address specifically is the poverty that affects the single mothers, single Black mothers, the under and unemployment that affects our people as a whole, and this racially motivated police brutality. The reason we want to address those issues, specifically the underemployment, the underemployment, the single mothers, the poverty, is because that's usually where we have a breakdown, where the children, right, our future generations, that's usually where the breakdown occurs. Because, if they're being raised by a struggling single mother, that mother usually has so much on her plate that she cannot provide a loving and nurturing environment to that child. Usually, statistics are saying usually, but we do have some exceptional mothers. We do have some Black women who succeed despite the odds. In terms of the underemployment, again, we have that usually affects a lot of the men, and as we all know, there is a lack of Black fathers in these families, in our families. And that, too, is causing a breakdown because there is usually no one there to provide discipline and structure to these children. And so what happens is we have these young boys growing up where they become gangbangers and all kinds of other craziness because they're looking for some place to belong. And usually when they get around 16, a mother no longer can control them. Or then we have these young girls who feel that they're grown at that point, and then basically they go out and have a baby while they're not where they're ill prepared, and then basically create this cycle over and over and over. In regards to the police brutality, we just don't want to be picked on. Like right now, the cops are just going out there shooting, killing us, unarmed, whatever, resisting, not resisting, doesn't even matter. They're killing us and they're getting away with it. So we're not trying to have it go back to the way how it was when they were going around lynching us when it was open season on us. So the buck needs to stop here, right? We need to stop that. So that's the reason why this organization, those are the three issues that this organization wants to address. Because we feel if we address those issues, that will solve a whole lot of the other problems, right? Because if we're able to help these single mothers, provide some employment to them, provide some employment to these young brothers that are having kids, then they will be able in turn to provide loving, nurturing environments to the children. If they're providing loving and nurturing environments to the children, then the children have a better chance of growing up and becoming productive members of society. If we have a lot of those kids growing up becoming productive members of society, then guess what? The face of Black America or just Black people in general looks different, right? So we have less crime. We have less ratchetness. We have less any negative thing that you're thinking about. And then in regards to the police brutality and things like that, if we stop that, if we mount a good resistance to that, then the powers that be will be like, oh shoot, these people actually, they have their act together. And then so anyone else who plans on or has ideas of stepping on our toes, they will tread lightly. They'll be hesitant to do it. And then that will provide protection in the future for those new generations of young Black men and women who are now productive. That is what this organization is about at its core. But, and you know, so what we're talking about, we have a very detailed plan for how we get there. But with the various interactions that I've had this week, the conversations and things like this, you know what I'm thinking? I'm thinking maybe the people who we want to help, maybe they don't want help, right? Because I found myself arguing with two people. So a lot of times people come on these calls and they say, hey, Brother Lou, is Black Wallace Matter trying to work with any other organizations? And I say, absolutely, we try to entertain and we, you know, even though they have a different way of doing it, we have a different way of doing it. We try to say, listen, if the ultimate goal is actually to make changes, you know, in the community, to actually do something, then that's all we care about. So someone from another organization reached out to me, and we started off with a friendly discussion, and then when we begin talking about working together, and so their plan, it was solid. But I said, you know, but what he wanted to do, so this organization has a pretty broad network. So what usually happens is a lot of other organizations look at us, they see our numbers, they see the way people interact or whatever it is, and they try to come to our organization because they want the reach. They want they want to be associated with us so that they can tap into our network, right? I'm very protective of the people and organizations that I put in front of, you know, you all, and the reason why is because I want to make sure that their motives are clear. So the things that this organization is doing, their motives are very clear. They are actually doing things. So then I said, okay, cool, but what is the challenge that you're having? And the challenge that they said they were having is they don't have enough funding to do what they're doing. So I say, exactly. That's the problem with most of the things that we want to do in a Black community. We have a group of people who want to do things from their heart, but then nobody is really prioritizing the numbers. Nobody is really sitting down and understand that if you want to seriously do something powerful in a sustained manner for the Black community, you're going to have to do it like a business. You're going to have to run it like a business, because those are the only type of entities that survive, especially here in America. That's the structure. So when I started saying that, you know, the individual starts saying, oh, yo, you sound like a capitalistic white man. Yo, you sound just like them crackers. Yo, you, and I'm saying, I'm like, what are you talking about, bro? I'm like, this is how things get done. Like, you're coming out of your pocket, you're trying to scrape and scrounge to do what it is you're doing. Some days you're able to provide the service, some days you aren't because you don't have the funding. Well, guess what? The people in the community are not taking your program serious. It can't take it serious because it can't be relied upon. So I said, what your problem is, or what the challenge that you're having and what you need someone to sit down and you need to map out a plan based on the numbers. And I said, off the top of my head, let me spitball something at you. I said, I live in this space. I said, I've been an entrepreneur for so many years. I've done this. I've bootstrapped a lot of different things. Let me help you with these numbers. And I started giving the person the numbers, and then they were like, see, that's the problem with all you black organizations. You think it's all about the money. You're robbing the people. You're doing this. You're doing this. Why does it take money? You just sat here and told me you can't open up your can't open up your program. You can't run your program this week. And you want to know if you can ask my people for a donation. And then you're going to say to me, why is it about the money? Like, are you, like, you don't see the disconnect? So then I said, well, listen, let me ask you this. The people in your community that you are actually providing the service for, what's the response that you're getting from them? Right? Because I said, if they really need the service, then they can support it themselves. You can start a membership, start charging. You got to start charging, because if you can't keep the service open, or we try that, they won't do that. I said, wait a minute. So you're providing a service to the community. You tried to charge for your services, and the number that he tried to charge like something minimal. It was like peanuts what he was talking about. And I said, and the community wouldn't support you, and then you're saying that you're upset because the people are coming to you and they're saying they can't send their kids or they can't come or whatever it is. And he was essentially saying that some of the kids that come, their mother send them there as, you know, to use them kind of sort of like a babysitter. And he's like, and I understand that, but, you know. So that was one conversation. Then I just had a conversation just like a few hours before this. So as many of you guys know, we're part of our nonprofit, Wheelchairs Against Guns. We go into the schools, we talk to the kids about the dangers of bullying, gangs, and gun violence. Gang violence, the guns, gun violence and all of that stuff in our communities is rampant. It's crazy. And so what we are doing is we're trying to catch the children while they're in school, when we have their undivided attention, and also when they're young and impressionable, hopefully before they even get to the gun violence part. When we started this program, we needed permission from the parents to conduct the workshops. And we couldn't even get the parents to sign off on a workshop that their children desperately need. Like, so what we teach, and anyone who wants to check it out, it's wheelchairsagainstguns.org. We teach the children critical thinking strategies, conflict resolution strategies, and how to have self-confidence, how to build and reinforce their own self-esteem. Right, those are the things that we teach them in these workshops. When we started, we couldn't even get the teachers, we couldn't even get the parents to sign off on this. So we went another way and tried to have the schools make it mandatory. So we started appealing to the schools because the schools understood this. And so now it's just part of, like, you know, lunch or gym or whatever it is, or they'll take them out for a period or two. I'm thinking maybe the people who we think need help, maybe they don't think they need help. And maybe this is why we have such a hard time trying to make progress in the black community. I'm serious. Like, I'm really thinking about it. Because you know what? I don't even think I heard people ever say, hey, help me. I don't even think people say help me. Like, maybe if there's a tragedy or something, then people say it. But I don't know. Because it's just too hard. It's confusing. We're trying to do people, organizations that say they're trying to do something, they can't work together. The people you're trying to help, they don't want the help. Like, they won't help themselves. They don't want. I just don't know what's going on. I really, really don't know what's going on. And our organization, we keep pulling. We keep saying, all right, listen, let's do this. I fully understand what it takes to do something on a sustainable, on a large and sustainable level for our community. I tried to do something myself. I tried to do something very big myself. It was not enough. And then I tried to do something again, and it still was not enough. And so I said, the only way that this was going to work is if the collective participated in this, because it's too much to bear for any one person. It's just too much. It has to be a system, and it has to be, the burden has to be shared with the collective, because it will crush one man or one woman. And I mean, the hurdles we're overcoming with just trying to work with people who say they're on the same page is just mind-boggling to me. And so I am really wondering, in earnest, maybe, you know, are we looking at the problem the wrong way? Are we trying to help people who don't want help? Are we trying to help people who don't know they need help? You remember what Harriet, we've been saying these past few calls. Harriet Tubman says she would have freed more slaves if only they would have known they were actually slaves. I'm wondering if we're trying to help people who don't realize that they need help. It's like when someone's drowning and you go to them, because you got to go from the back of them. If you go to the front, they'll flail and they'll kick, and then they'll bring you both down. And I'm wondering if that's really what's happening. Because the encounters I had this week, I couldn't understand it. We say all the time, listen, we're open to working with other organizations. I tried to work with another organization. I have organizations hit me up all the time. But this particular organization, I know that they're doing something. They're doing something that's in alignment that this organization is doing, which is they have learning spaces. So this organization wants to build community resource centers where we're, you know, doing computer training and, you know, teaching people trade skills and things like that. This organization is like, listen, man, we're going to just start with where we're at. We have some spare space. We're going to go in and we're going to do some remedial courses, and we're going to do some GED prep, and we're going to do whatever it is that we can do. Whatever it is we can do, we're going to do that, even just to get the kids off the streets. And they have people come in and talk to them and stuff like that. That is admirable. That is admirable. And the members of this organization can tell you that is definitely in alignment with what we want to do. And so I did not think that there would be any challenges sitting here trying to explain to them. And I said, the problem that you're having is that no one is really prioritizing the business aspect of what it takes. No one is prioritizing the fact that it takes money to run these types of things. And, you know, the individual is, the community don't want to come off no money, and I think it's a problem when we ask people money, why should we charge to help black people and things like that. And I had the response that because that's what it takes, because that's how other organizations do it. We have the blueprint. It's in front of us. We're watching Sister Tracy. She can never make these calls because she works at these times, but she listens to every recording. And she sends me emails with notes and things that she wants to bring to the group. Last week she said to me, she said that she wants us to create a detailed video or something that shows how the Jewish community came from wherever they were, in American history, how they got to where they are, how the LGBT community, how they came from a point where, you know, quote unquote, in the closet, and now they're out to the point where you can't even say certain things in school. And now I know certain places in California, they're about to start having this thing is called inclusion. They're going to have that included in the curriculum. And she is saying that and then also with the Latino community and how they're get strengthening themselves through economics and politics. That's what we need to do. But I'm thinking that it's only those of us who actually want to do something. It's only those of us who actually care. I'm serious. And so I'm thinking maybe we need to just strengthen ourselves. Maybe we need to say, okay, where are we currently and what are we lacking? Because we're lacking political cohesion. We're lacking economic cohesion. maybe we need to just say, okay, you know what? If they're not crying for help, we know we need help. Let's empower ourselves. Let's put up these fortifications, these economic and these political fortifications. Let's put those up, and then when those who are ready for help, when they're ready to come over, then we'll open the door for them. But I'm thinking we're going to have to just start building. I'm just thinking we're going to have to just start building for those who are currently, quote unquote, woke. We're not going to wake anyone up. Because, I mean, it was just the conversations that I was having with someone who's actually doing something is just mind-boggling. The parents who actually, their children live in these at-risk areas. It's documentation. There's the documentation. You know, when you go to the corner store, there's a bunch of blood on the corner of your store. You know, when you go upstairs, you hear gunshots all up and down your street and police sirens and things like that, and your child has to go out and walk on these streets. You don't want your child to get the coping skills and tools to learn when you see certain things. Avoid this. Here's how you avoid confrontation. Here's how you get around the bullying. Here's how you do all these different things. Like, that is of no interest to you as a parent? We didn't get not one parent to sign those permission slips. Not one. And New York City schools are huge. We're talking thousands of students, thousands in one school. So we're talking about something that probably went out to like 12,000 parents, and we didn't get one for like the area that we were targeting. And so we figured another way to go around it, which we went through the thing. So normally I say to the new members, you know, if you like what's going on here, you know, we invite you to join us. But you know what? Are you a person? If you are not yet a member of this organization, are you a person that is so motivated, right? Or are you apathetic? Like, are you just blasé? Like, do you even care? Are you on this call just to, like, check it out and see, all right, let me see what these black folks are talking about? Or are you really here looking for solutions? Are you really here to have an intelligent conversation? Are you here really to see a plan, see a structure, see something that makes sense where 2 + 2 = 4, and then you're able to say, okay, cool, I can get behind that and help them build that? Because we are in the building stages. If you are interested in that, then that's what this organization is, and we have a video on our website. It is called The Blueprint, and it takes you from point A to point B, well, point A to point Z, actually, for what we want to do and how we want to get there. If you are that person, if you are something like that, then stick around, hang out with us. I usually go into breaking it all down, but I don't even want to do that. I just want to open up the floor to get feedback from people about this thing. The question that I want to ask is, are we trying to help people who are not asking for help? Are we bumping our heads against the wall? Because I think really we are. But I'm so committed because I want to report to our organization, because when we have our member meetings and we have these other meetings, we talk about working with organizations. I wanted to report to the organization that, listen, here's another group. They're doing what they're doing. We're going to partner with them, and we're going to start supporting some of their movements because they have the infrastructure. They have the organization. But that's not the case, because they aren't prioritizing the numbers. But I'm still trying to engage that organization, and I'm still trying to work with them. I spoke with them again today, and tentatively we have something that we can do. But I'm going to put the call in Q&A mode. If you have any feedback on what I'm talking about, then press *6, please. Okay, good. Great. So Brother Larry is new here. Brother Larry. Brother Larry.
Brothers and sisters, I basically do what you're saying right now. I tell people I have 1,400 children across the state of Colorado. Okay? I run Head Start programs. And what we have found is that parents do want these things, but they want them on their terms. A half-day program is not going to help them. They need something that's going to help them so they can get a job, go to their job, and not have to worry about their child. So, maybe looking at partnering with Head Start programs can help you because they're also neighborhood-based.
You're saying for Black Wallets Matter, or you're saying for
For
another
Black
program?
Wallets Matters, Black Wallet Matters, as a nonprofit, Black Wallet Matters can apply for Head Start grants.
We have no. So we have another organization that actually is. So the organization that we're that I'm talking about, where we're actually working with the school, it's called Wheelchairs Against Guns. We're actually in the school, so we're already a vendor. We actually have the contract for the school. I was just saying that what we had to go through to even, when we first started, we thought that we would just be able to go to these schools, go to these parents, and tell them, "Hey, listen, here's what we have. Here's a workshop. Here's what it's going to look like." And we thought that, and so they were like, "Okay, well, we got to get the parents to sign off on this because we're talking about taking the kids out of class or whatever." And we
Correct.
couldn't get right, so we couldn't get one parent to sign off on it. And so then we were like, "Okay, cool. How about gym? Or how about one of these other soft periods?" And we still couldn't get anyone to sign off. But we're in the schools now, and we found a little niche. Basically, what we're doing is we're working with like suspension sites, right? So basically, these are kids that are in trouble. They've already been identified as trouble, and part of them being in there, they have to get these workshops now. So we
Correct.
kind of found a way in, but I mean, we're talking about like 3 years ago. It's just crazy. In terms of
Correct.
Black Wallets Matter, in terms of what this organization is currently doing, we want to go to troubled communities, troubled neighborhoods,
Correct. Correct, my
and
brother.
we want.
That's what I do.
No, right. So,
That's what I
but
do.
what I'm
What I'm
saying.
saying is, I did it by getting a community, a nonprofit. As I'm a nonprofit, what we did was we applied for a Head Start grant. Once we got that grant, we got the parents. Once we got the children into the classroom, we had access to those parents. And once we got the parents, then we got them involved. And so we were able to educate, and we were able to train. So that was our way of getting those parents, getting to the community and getting the parents. But they did not know they needed help until we went from a half a day to a full day so they could get a job. And that, I think, is one of the biggest issues in our communities is, like you said, economic development. Where are we going to work? Even with an education, where are we going to work?
And so you guys provide jobs?
What we do is we provide job training.
Okay.
We provide job training and we also provide job resources only in the agricultural fields. If you have agricultural work habits, work 51% of your salary, I can train you to be a truck driver. I can train you to be a nurse. A nurse is a CNA. And I can help you get a job. Because I have a National Farm Workers Grant also. So there's ways of letting the government fund these programs for you.
I like it, brother. I like it. I like it a lot.
Okay.
I
Now,
like
when
it.
I say the community has to be involved, every dollar they give you, you got to come up with a quarter. So if you got a if the government gives you $5, you got to come up with a dollar and a quarter. If not, your program won't run. And the way you get that dollar and a quarter is you get that dollar and a quarter by community involvement. I got a building over here that's been empty. Well, they're going to let me have this building for a dollar a year. Well, what's the value of the building? $6,000 a month. Well, wait a minute. That goes towards that dollar and a quarter.
You know how that works? I'm gonna tell you what's so crazy. In my personal business, I'm working with a client now. She runs a CNA program, and she's getting grants from the Department of Labor. But I don't know how she's doing that. She's playing it a little.
That's closer, how she's so. Doing it.
Yeah,
that's how she's doing it. She's got a. What is called a workforce opportunity.
Yep. That's exactly what she has. She has a CNA program, and what I'm helping her do now is launch a nurse's aid program.
Correct.
That's right. But I won't know about that. Actually, she just texted me a few moments ago, and we won't be meeting until next Tuesday. But she's playing it close to her chest, and you know she's white. So she's not going to be giving me up too much information.
Well, I'm going to say this. I'm going to say this. The organization, I chair a nonprofit board. The organization's been around since 1980. Their first grant was from the National Farm Workers Program. The reason I say Head Start is because Head Start is funded through Health and Human Services, not Department of Education.
Okay.
So by being funded through Health and Human Services, in order for your child to be in Head Start, you have to be income eligible.
Yeah,
now, if that's the constituent that you're trying to help, then that's the easiest way to do it because you're mandated to work with that area.
Well, all right. So you know what we need to really talk more about this. Please do me a favor and send me an email. I actually have your number here, so
yeah.
We need to talk more about that. That's interesting. I like that, brother. Thank you so much. All right.
Oh yeah, not a problem.
Sister Mai. Hello. Sister Mai.
Hello.
Yes.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can.
Oh, good evening, Brother Lou and other brothers and sisters. This is such an interesting topic and question. Are we trying to help those who don't want to be helped? I believe in part yes and in part no. I've had some really interesting conversations myself this week and have read some interesting posts. And the one I'll mention specifically is the one I read today about the Black Panther movie.
Sister, you went out again.
Can you hear me?
Hello? Yeah, got it.
Hello? Sorry. Okay. So I was saying that video clip that I watched today, Dr. Boyd Watson was talking about how Disney is in the area of getting ready to make, I forgot the number actually, but a lot of money, several millions of dollars off of his Black Panther movie. And he was suggesting, why don't we...
Sister, your phone is breaking up really bad. I'm not hearing anything.
Oh, wow. Okay. Maybe I'll try and get back. Am I good now?
Yep, you're great. Yep.
Okay. So I was saying read this or listened to a post by Dr. Boyce Watkins today where he was talking about the Black Panther movie and how it's getting ready to make, and I don't remember the number, but several millions of dollars, right? And how so many Black people were inspired to go see this movie, him himself included. But he was saying, why don't we ask, Disney to basically invest some of that money back into the African-American community that they're making off of African-Americans. And, you know, they said, yeah, he said, yes, of course, the actors in the movie will make some money, as well, but why not try and reinvest and do some type of program or something in the community? And he wanted people's thoughts. So there was so much commentary under that video clip that speaks to what your question is, in my opinion. And there were so many people saying things that were like they are Eurocentric minded, as the person, I guess, kind of accused you of being. And they were saying, did you ask Dr. Dre to give back money when he made money on his movie? Did you ask? You know, they were like naming other black producers and filmmakers and companies, Lionsgate or whatever, that had made movies and made money off of them and saying, why aren't you asking them? Now, these are black people responding, saying this. Like, why would you ask Disney to give back money to the black community and you wouldn't ask the same of the black people who've made money in the industry off of black people as well? And it just kind of baffled me. And then there were other people who were also defending and saying that, like, it was shot in Atlanta and how Atlanta's economy had benefited from the movie being there with all of the people there. A lot of the mom-and-pop shops were patronized by visitors, by tourists, you know, so they were happy, basically saying, leave them alone. Some of the people in this community did profit. But the people, I was looking at the people who were posting these comments, and the ones who were saying that they were benefiting were like Indian and non-black, from what they looked like on the profile. So I just feel like there is a segment of people who really doesn't want to be. There's, I don't know, just I feel like they're so apathetic and defensive for the status quo, and it's us. And it's like we don't see how we're really not being benefited by the status quo. Like we are being used and what's the other word? I mean, yeah, you'll make some money if you're the star or whatever, but as a whole, as a collective, we as a people are still being, to me, largely used, misused, and underpaid for the service and not even given the credit for what we contribute to this economy. As a whole, we just don't make anywhere near as much out of this economy that we put into it. And there's so many of us that are not woke to this fact, in my opinion, including a lot of my own personal friends, that it's sickening, to be honest. And so I feel like you sound in that, should we really be trying to help the collective? Should we really be trying to help everybody? Because really not everybody wants to be helped, and people really feel like, I guess, it's not that bad for them, or yeah, they feel like they would rather really just, yeah, like they would rather just continue to try to be completely assimilated and integrated into this mainstream, thinking that eventually it's going to treat them right and fairly. And I don't know how they can see that or think that when you have these white supremacists shooting, killing 17 people, or going into a church killing 9 people, and yet they get taken out in handcuffs, taken to the same hospital that they just killed these other people with, or taken to Burger King on the way to jail, and yet black people who are unarmed, defenseless, and not doing anything, whether you, like you said, whether they are armed or not, or are considered a danger or not, hands up, hands down, whatever, they get killed, and there's no repercussion. And then there's people who are really feeling like it's not that bad.
Right, and that's what I'm saying, and that's why I think those of us who feel like that, we should just make our own thing. I'm serious. We need to say, okay, cool. We know this is happening. Here's our economic fortification. Here's our political fortification. And then once that's built, right, when the other people do decide to wake up, then it's like, okay, cool, you know, it's we have it here. And I don't even know if we even gonna want them at that point, because if you have to put in the hard work, and I know, and I'm listening, and I'm telling you, the whole reason a lot of you guys, you know, I spoke to you, and you know, we say, you know, we start talking about, you know, how Black Wallace Matter even came about. You know, a lot of you guys know I tried to do it by myself. I tried to do what I could do. I tried to do my own thing, and it didn't work. And then I tried to do something else, and it even to the point where it even hurt me. hurt me financially. And I was like, what am I doing? And I was like, you know what? Let's just get the collective on board. And I do know if when you put your time, energy, money, effort, intelligence, everything else at risk, your family, whatever it is, you put all that stuff at risk and you succeed, you're going to want to have, or you're going to want to enjoy the spoils for yourself. You're going to want to, because you're going to feel it's your reward for putting in the work. And that's a human trait. That has nothing to do with black people being selfish, white people. That's just human. You put in the effort, you want the reward. And I'm thinking, I'm serious, we're struggling, we're trying to do this. I mean, I'm saying if 2,000 of us were to get together and just build a system, right? So 2,000 people is really like just a drop in the bucket. And if we were able to just create one little type of system, one little type of business, one little point of leverage, and then have this thing build upon itself with its own momentum, I don't think we would have the avarice, the greed. We wouldn't have that sense of entitlement to say, you know what, we own all of this stuff that we built. Because really what we need, and I use this word a lot on these calls, we need selflessness in our community.
Right.
This is what I believe. We need a large degree of selflessness. It's like those who can have to do for those who can't. But I'm telling you, like the hurdles, the challenges, like at every turn, just trying to get everybody on the same page, it's nuts.
Right.
It's nuts. It's like you're doing what you're doing. I'm doing what I'm doing. It's the same direction. You calling me complaining about a problem that you're having, and I'm telling you, I understand what your problem is. It's this. But it's like then all of a sudden it's like you're detached from reality. Like that part, though, it's like it doesn't make sense. And usually that's what I see happen a lot. It's like the logic, there's like gaps in logic. When you're talking to people, it's like they're not connecting the dots. The 1 + 1 is not equaling 2. And I think Brother Leonard said this a few weeks back, that cognitive dissonance. And I'll actually look that up. I think maybe that's probably what it is. It's probably really that. Right.
Well, yeah,
so,
and I think he mentioned the that syndrome too, where you basically fall in love with your oppressor.
Stockholm syndrome.
I feel like that was kind of the same thing. But actually, I also spoke with a cop this week, and he was very transparent, and I was really impressed. I spoke with him over the phone, and I wasn't sure if he was black, and I don't think he was sure if I was black until the more we talked, and we both ended up telling each other that we were black. But talking about the current penal system and what we need to do as black people as a whole to demand basically where change can happen, and this at the local level, like I'm always saying, how we need to really, really get involved in our local politics and be in their ear and know who's supposedly serving and representing you. So I'd actually called the district attorney's office to complain about the jury selection and inquire as to their methods. And my complaint was, you know, how is it that basically over 50% of the people on trial are African American, and yet less than 0.5% of the jury is African-American, who is supposed to be a jury of their peers. That's what the system tells us. It's supposed to be a jury of your peers. How is it that only 0.5% of the jury is representing 50%, you know, of the people that are on the jury stand? And then, like, that's not a jury of your peers. So anyway, went into a lot of details, but the bottom line was he was saying, you know, he gave some advice about exactly who to talk to. And I knew, he was like, you know who your supervisor is. And I gave him the name, know who you're, you know, about this task force or whatever. I actually told him about the task force that the Board of Supervisors had implemented in our county and knew all the people on it, knew all the supervisors in the whole county, you know, by name. And then he was just like, wow, well, there needs to be a whole lot more of you. you know, and you need to get people who are conscious basically like you that are on the same page and come up with XYZ and present that to XYZ and be demanding and da-da-da-da. Well, I don't think I know five people, and I've been in this community 23 years, and I don't think I know five African-American people who would be willing, first of all, who even care enough, know enough about local politics, but who would be willing to actually put their name down on a ballot, not a ballot, but a petition and help to circulate it. I don't think I know five. And yet, so I feel the same way. Like, okay, I'm trying to speak for a voice for a community that may not want to be heard. Or, you know what I mean, don't necessarily want you to speak for them, but they're not willing enough to take, to even just find out about what's going on locally, to put the right people or to decide, to realize what the right questions are that you need to ask them to make sure that they are representing you. And then he even told me this would be the answer, the barrier that they're going to try and smooth over or tell you this, but this is the comeback. This is the real deal. They're going to, you know, how we were just talking about how covert the system still is to try to keep the status quo. And he was, you know, giving me, like I said, the workaround for that. But I really don't know who I can go to. I mean, five people on a petition, what is that going to do?
Right. Well, I mean, it's just that, I mean, it's one of the challenges that we have.
It's a huge challenge, and I wish I knew the answer. You know what I mean? You're on the East Coast and I'm on the West Coast, you know, and we have people on the call everywhere in between. Why? Because there's not enough of us, I feel, in one area.
Our local areas,
that are like-minded.
Right.
And that's a huge challenge. Thank you.
Thank you so much for chiming in, sister. Got a few more people in the queue.
All right.
Thank you so much. Sister Wavette. Hello, sister?
Hello?
Yes.
Hi. You know, this is so weird. I had the same conversation just this morning when you said, are we helping people that don't want to help? I mean, I heard, I was like, this is just unreal. So I do financial literacy. About a year and a half ago, I'm also a real estate broker. So a year and a half ago, I went to a conference. It was all the, you know, the African-American real estate brokers, okay, from around the country. And they had this great, great, great conference, you know, about helping people, you know, to buy real estate and leverage it for, you know, legacy and for wealth. Great conference. But in that conference, the vice president said to us, he said, you guys, it's great to help people buy homes to build wealth, but you're missing one thing. He said, go teach our community how to leverage life insurance, build wealth, because they don't know. I said, that's interesting.
Say that, hold on, wait a minute. Say that again? He said, go to your community and do what?
He said, help your community to understand how to leverage life insurance to build wealth, because they don't know.
You mean that whole life, that whole life policy thing where you become your own bank, that type of, that's what he meant?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, it's okay. So what I did was I did some research, right? And I said, I wonder how many African Americans have life insurance compared to white Americans. Okay? What I found was that we own more policies. So we own 10,000, 20,000. They own 1 million, 2 million. We use it to bury somebody. They use it to build wealth. And I said, and I don't know if I got, you know, overly optimistic or something. I said, well, I bet that's it. I'm going to go teach our people how to use it to build wealth, okay? So I started this Project 1000 mission. I said, this year I'm going to help 1,000 people understand. You know, just from my personal experience, you know, right before that, I had lost my husband. 3 months later, I lost my mom. 3 months later, I lost my dad. So I experienced, you know, what it means, okay? But we look at it one way instead of looking at it how rich people use it, right? And so I'm going to say, I'm going to go out there and help our people. Have free workshops. Did anybody show up? No. But on my LinkedIn page, I will get calls from people that don't even know me. White people. I saw your profile. I need your help. Can you help me? I don't even know these people. But they'll call me and get a plan after I clean time how to do it. But our people, it's a fight. It is literally a fight. And so I said to the lady today, I said, maybe I'm trying to help people that just don't want to be helped. And it's very frustrating, you know, even kind of like makes me want to cry sometimes. Because, like, you know, I have two boys, 23 and 26. But see, I know what to do with my two boys, but most people don't. And so here I am trying to help our people to understand, and they won't even listen. They won't even listen. And honestly, it just breaks my heart. When somebody that's not non-black will call me and says, oh, that's awesome, put it together. And I'm to myself, what? You know?
Yeah,
it is kind of like, you know, am I trying to help people that don't want to be helped?
It's been happening. Like, I was speaking with the other brother a few moments ago about the lady with the with the CNA program. I speak with in my preliminary consults. I give like some broad strokes in regards to some things that people can do to get their business on, you know, get their business on track, so that I could be able to help them, right? Because so people come to me for marketing consultations and things like that, but usually the business isn't marketable yet. So I sat down, I told this lady, I said, you know, you got to do this, and this. And at the same time when I met with her, there was a brother that was with, actually her partner is a brother. So to his credit, they took the information. He was taking copious notes, and they went out and they implemented what I told them to do. So they did that. But I had another young brother who was trying to get another business off the ground right after I met with them and I spoke with him. And then, you know, I seen his brother. He's like still languishing, you know, didn't do anything. And then, you know, and then asking me, hey, man, what can I do? I told you what you need to do. It doesn't change. I told you what you need to do. Oh, well, I don't want to go that way. Okay, well, then, I mean, what do you want me to do? And so it dawned on, and I was very detailed with the information that I gave him. I mean, I, like, pretty much did, like, did my job for free for him. And, you know, and with this lady, you know, I'm, like, you know, a little bit guarded, but I'm giving her, like, the broad strokes, and she's able to implement. And I'm saying to myself, you know, why is it that when I'm trying to be helpful, when I'm trying to do something, it's like I have to fight with people to receive help, or I have to fight with people to give assistance. And, what Sister Maya is saying, you know, I kind of knew, like, that was going to be, like, a challenge trying to find a lot of people in a certain area to get on board, and that was because I had that experience with the teachers, and that's why we tried to make this, you know, a distributed organization, a distributed network with brothers and sisters from all over the country. If you're like-minded, then be like-minded, come on board. But it's even still, it's like we're gonna have some challenges with trying to get people we're gonna have some challenges, man. And I'm really hoping someone has, like, someone that's in the queue. Maybe they'll say something that makes sense out of it. Because today, I couldn't understand what was going on this week. I really couldn't understand what was going on. It was just crazy to me. So, thank you so much, sister.
Thank you.
We've got, let's see, we have Brother Lawrence in the queue. Brother Leon, I see you, brother. I see you, Sister Mai. Where did Brother Leonard go? Brother Lawrence. Okay, I don't know. Am I? Okay. Brother Leon.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes, I can, brother.
Okay, great, Brother Lou. Yeah, like I said, that's an interesting question. I was just listening and just, you know, trying to just analyze, you know, what would be a good answer. And, like, what I'm coming up with is that, first of all, okay, the problem is that the problem comes from what is by design. Okay, at this point in America, well, you know, the Jew craving, Jim Crow, we're at that point where we're trying to survive. That's all by design. So now, so just to say, it is what it is. We have right now format, okay, that you have put together that can say start making things change. Okay, so like what we got to do is look at it from a percentage, okay, and let numbers do our work. Okay, so what I mean by that, we all have good ideas, we all have good organizations. So what we have to do, another thing I want to throw in right quick, the cream rises to the top. That's an old saying, but it's a lot of fact to that. Okay, so what we have to do is recognize that the best is going to come up to the top. Okay, so right now, not bragging, but we have the best because what this program is inclusive instead of exclusive. So that means we're not going to miss the cream. So in knowing that, we have to say, okay, we're going to focus on what we have. And then say, like, we have three areas that we're working in. Okay, these three areas, we find people that's in the group that's going to use their expertise in those areas, in those three areas. And then what we're doing now is growing the core because, like, my expertise may be in, raising money or working with the guys who are trying to get a job. Somebody else may be working with something else. Well, in the core, we'll find out what our strengths are. And as we find out what our strengths are, we're building. Then as we build, we're rising to the top. And then now what we have to do is as we set a course, okay, the course is what we have, as we get a little better and have more people participate, we always consider delegating authority. What I mean by that, okay, other organizations, they exist now, they're going to exist. Okay, well, what we do is say we just kind of give them a little bit to do, but it's not with us, but it's with that community they're working with. And as they be successful, we can kind of do things together. If they're not, we can say, well, you know, you should have did it like this. But at the same time, we're using what we got. We have a set program, and what we're doing is say, and so since we have a set program, the people who are in the program, we have everybody that's in one area. I just say a third is in this area, a third is in this area. And now what I'm more better in, I'm going to work in that area. And somebody else, they're more better than that. So now you have three areas that's working toward a common goal. Okay, those three areas working toward a common goal, we're using all our brain power, all our finance power toward what? A common goal. Now what's going to happen at that point, we are building, because, and then when you start building, I tell people, dogs don't bark at a parked car. Well, the same scenario, as we go from one point to, say, trying to put a movement together, we become a movement. Now, what a movement does is that's like if you're on a railroad train, you're in a train going down the track, anything in it is going to get ran over. But the people that's on the train, we're going to benefit because we have a specific designation place we're going to, and we have a way of bringing other people to that same place by getting on the train. So I'm in agreement with what you're doing, but to support, see, at this point, we're supposed to be having that conversation. We discussed it. We're supposed to be having this conversation because what? The numbers dictate that. If you can only hold money in your community 2 hours, okay, you're disgusted. So we can't be having a cheerleading conversation in the condition we're in. So we're having the right conversation. What we're doing is recognizing the problem. Now, in recognizing the problem, we know that that's all by design. Okay, next. So we have a system that we know we're going to attack the areas that's going to benefit our culture. Okay,
what I'm saying to you is the program, the plan, the this, everything that we want to do, maybe it's directed to people who don't want it. Because if the people don't want it, then it's not. I mean, we're not going to get the benefit, or we're not going to get the results that we want, right? Because I'm thinking that some of the challenges that I'm coming across in regards to what we're trying to invest in, the amount of time that I put into the organization, the amount of time that I try to put into helping people, right? And then see that it's a problem with either trying to get on the same page with the person, it's a problem from even the people who you're giving the help to or giving resources to, they squander the resources. That's what I'm saying. And so it happens so frequently, I'm wondering if we're looking at the problem the right way. Like I'm leaving nothing unturned, right? Because think about it, this is a problem that people have been trying to solve. Since Harriet Tubman, since Harriet Tubman, since this thing that, I mean, people have been probably before that. I think Nat Turner was before that. And it was the people who burnt down the stuff in Florida where they had like a free town or whatever it was in Florida, probably before Harriet Tubman. So all I'm saying is there has always been some group of black people with a clear picture, a clear understanding of where we currently stand as a people, and was fighting to change it for us all, and they have not been successful. And I am saying that they have tried to appeal to the masses, they have tried to appeal to the rest of us to say, wake up, pay attention to what's going on, and let's all start marching to the beat of the same drum. And then there has been some who's like, nope, I'm fine with the way that things are. Either through their ways, through their words, or through their actions, is what I'm saying. And like I said, I try to speak to two different groups of people who supposedly doing something for the. It's not even supposedly. Well, one person I know they're doing something for their community. I mean, I'm watching them do what they're doing, so they're doing it. But then they're not getting the support of their community. And then when I explain to them that, hey, listen, this is how you need to structure what you're doing because you need revenue. You need to run your organization, just, you know, your program like a business because it's overhead associated with it. They didn't want to hear that. And that was also a problem, right? Mm-hmm. So, but I get what you're saying in terms of us just having our own internal people to work with or whatever. But I'm really more concerned about, are we even actually trying to help the people that want to be helped? Should we be thinking about something else? Should we just be focusing on trying to find like-minded people and building something with them and then worrying about the other people later? That's what I'm saying. Because if not, we're going to have an anchor around our necks trying to build with an anchor around our neck, and that's going to make it really hard. Another thing, brother. Next week, brother, please change that battery in your smoke detector, man. Because I got you on my earpiece, and you are killing me. You are,
yes, sir.
You are blowing. I'm going to send you a 9-volt battery, bro.
Okay. I lost my house in a storm, and I moved out here. Anyway, that's what's going on. But I got you. It will be down, okay?
Yeah. Well, take it down and blow in the sensors. Or press that button to hold it long so that it, you know, at least it pauses or something if you don't change the battery. All
okay. Right? Okay. Yeah. I'm going to the car.
All right. We got a bunch of people in the queue, man. And, brother Leonard and brother Lawrence are back in because they got cut off. So let me get them in the queue, bro. Thank you so much.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Thank you, brother Luke.
All right. Okay, so Brother Leonard, you were first, and then you, Brother Lawrence, and then Brother Vaughn, and then Sister Cosmo. Then,
okay. What's going on, Brother Lou, and all my brothers and sisters on this call?
Salute to you, brother. Salute to you.
Yeah, thank you. I'm going to right away start talking about the cultural collectivity and that's what's missing because other cultures have it. But I want to be on the team that is talking about making a video about what other cultures do to help raise their particular group of people. And especially because I've been in the wrestling business most of my life, I worked a lot hand-in-hand with Hispanics. So I kind of know them a little bit, quite a bit. But let me touch on something else with the video, and you and I have had this conversation. We need to show our people, because unfortunately, we don't understand nothing but the belt, okay? You've got to get that air. We don't understand nothing but the belt. Daddy, I'm not going to do it again. Oh, I know you're not going to do it again.
Yeah.
So turn around so I can get that ass. Just turn around because Daddy got to get that ass. And you know what they used to say? It hurts me more than it hurts you, son. I didn't understand that until now I'm a father. Now, the reason why I'm going with this is if we don't come together as a collective, and like I said before, you and I have had this conversation, we will be in economic slavery. And so we have to show, just like that Black Panther movie coming out, we need to have our producers, our directors, come up with something, because like you said, it goes all the way back to Harry Tubman, W.E.B. Du Bois, the Talented Tenth. You can go on and on and on and on. But what they didn't do, we did not predict the future. We always reacted to the present. We have to show that even if our kids get their degrees, they will still be unemployed, because the economy will dictate that. It won't have anything to do with race. What's going to happen is all the other ethnic groups are only going to look out for their own. But because we haven't established that, we will be what we call economic slavery. And I shared with you my vision with this, but I want to share with the people on the call. By 2065, this is how it's going to look, Black people. There will be an apartment complex where we live. There will be a bus that will come up and get the African-American people, pick them up, drive them to work for the Mexican, the Asian, and your pay is not going to be money. Your pay is going to be for the living in the apartment complex. That's what your pay is going to be. And there'll be a cafeteria where you go to eat. And then this is what you do all the time. And you're going to ask yourself, how did this happen? You see what Trump is doing right now with food stamps. You don't think this is going to happen? The problem with that is we don't pay attention to this. And unfortunately, a lot of us are, you know, unfortunately, I hate to use this word, ignorant in this. But what you're doing has to be done. But we have to show our people what's going to happen if we don't. And I think the video is a great start to show what other cultures do. But we also really have to call our people to the carpet. How ignorant we act, how we don't vote, how we treat each other in our business, how we don't support one another. This is a culture collectivity that other cultures don't even have. When they have a call like this, they're saying, Leonard, did you take care of that bill? We were supposed to have that bill because we need to buy that property. What's the feedback on that? They're talking business. They're sitting up here talking about how we don't work together. So then you have to ask yourself this question. How many years are we behind? Are we behind 50 years? Or are we behind 100 years? Because at some point, we have to make that distinction. Because all of us that are doing all these different things, if we were really effective, we wouldn't have this conversation that we're having. Now, continue to do what all you brothers and sisters are doing. Continue to fight that battle. But Lou, you're right. We're going to have to bring all the tribes together, because we have no cultural collectivity, and that's something that we have to create. So don't get discouraged, but you're right. Those people that need help, you're right. They don't know they need help. But we can see. And we should be so lucky that we could see. We just have to continue to fight this battle and find people just like ourselves. Because we didn't know about this. We just found out about it, what, 3 months ago? We joined? That's 90 days. I didn't think it's been 90 days. It might have been 60 days. And you've been doing this how long? How long you been doing this, Lou?
Since last year.
Okay.
Since last year.
Yeah. Right. So if you look at now, we have 400 or something now, members, right? So it took a year to get that. Then you got to ask yourself, every year, do you want to get 400 to get to the 2,000? You're looking at another five years. Hopefully we can all join together and help us get to that point. But anyway, that's my position on that, and I want to continue to encourage all the brothers and sisters to continue to fight this battle, because we are all we got.
Right, but so let me ask you this, right?
Right.
You saying fight the battle. We get weary. How about we find those like-minded people and then just start building from there? Because what we're doing, right, at least in my mind, right, this is how I see it. It's It's us coming together, but it's us thinking about all the other people who need the help, right? So here's the thing. Most of us don't need the kind of help that we're talking about. Like, most of us don't need, like, the trades training program. We don't, like, need those things. Where I live, I'm not, you know, the police not shooting me. They don't even bother you out here where I am.
Right.
And you know, you guys, I know, yeah, the rest of all the time, you're always working. I speak to Brother Cujo. He's always on the road. I speak to other people. They're always working. They're doing something. We are not even the people who need the help that we're talking about even building. We don't even need that. So I'm wondering if we just build something for those who understand, who are, like, so we what we all need, right, what we need, we do need political representation. I know we need that. We need some type of economic block where we all need, like, wealth, right? Because most of the people, we're all thinking about legacy, generational wealth. We're thinking about that, and there's really no collective group economic type system or structure for those of us who are willing to even, like, put in a pot and do something like that. So maybe we build that, and then from there we do some of the other things or whatever, because then it's we're working with easier people. We're working with people like you just said. Hey, what happened when you went to go check on that land? What happened when you went to go check on this? What's going on? What's the report? And then we're talking about progress. We're talking about moving ahead instead of talking about how can we get more members? How can we get more people to understand the seriousness of the severity of the problem and then come and doing it? Because that's what we're doing. That's what we're doing. And I had this idea months ago. If we were able to get all of the different organizations together, because people believe different things, if we're able to get all the different organizations together, then maybe that will allow us to start making some great strides. Well, on that call that you and Sister Maya invited me to with the other Sister Yolanda, right, and all right. those people with all those black organizations, I wrote down numbers. I spoke with Sister Yolanda after that. I reached out to them. Not one single person was really serious about trying to work together. You said, and all of us on the call, we're going to work together, and we're going to do this. And I said, yep.
Right.
And I reached, you heard me, you know, I reached out to
right.
people.
Right.
I reached out to every single person, with the exception of one person. I reached out to all the other people on that call that had an organization, and not one of them got back in touch with me. Not one.
Right.
And then when I spoke with the sister, I'm sorry?
No, so that's a perfect example. When I say where are we in terms of cultural collectivity, because, again, you are trying to work together, but even with that, and I think one of the workshops we had is, why don't we trust? Why is it the first thing right away? But having said that, you may have to be the catalyst or a number of us to keep reaching out. Because, you know, one of the things they tell you about selling insurance, they say no means no right now, but it doesn't mean no next month. It doesn't mean no 6 months from now. And unfortunately, because we don't have a culture of collectivity, we really have to work hard. And, I mean, and you're seeing it, you know. And this is not the first time that I've fought this battle and been involved in it. I remember before, we had an organization called the Greater Pasadena Altadena Mentoring Council. And what we were a number of organizations, a clearinghouse. And it did work. But again, what I noticed, everybody wants to be the head. Nobody wants to follow. And that's the example that you're probably running into, because you have an idea, they have an idea, they feel their idea is better than your idea. But in the end, we still have to keep talking about working together, because that's the only opportunity and the only chance that we have. Because if not, I hate to see what it looks like 50 years from now.
All right.
Yeah.
All right, Brother Leonard. Thank you so much for chiming in. Brother Lawrence.
Yes, I'm here. You can hear me.
Peace, brother. Yes, we can, brother. Loud and clear.
Okay. Yeah, sorry about I dropped out earlier, hit the wrong button. But, hey, I'm actually actually encouraged by the possibilities of what may happen next with Black Wallace Matter moving forward based on the topic tonight. I'm kind of glad it's reached this point. Let me explain, because I know to some that may sound off. First of all, just so you understand the direction I'm going in, I absolutely agree, Brother Luke, with what you said and the other two sisters who gave their testimony on why we have to consider not expending our energy and resources helping those who do not show themselves as desiring your help. I have those same things where I can say, shoot, this week hasn't ended, and I've had conversations that it boggles. I won't say it boggles the mind at this point, because I've seen it enough times to say it saddens me, but it is what it is. And I've come to be just fine with that understanding at this point. I think about, you mentioned Harriet Tubman and the lesson that, you know, she really gave us. For me, I joined BMW in hope of finding like-minded people who understand that we need to turn inward with those of us who just not only look like us, share the same ethnicity and blood, but have a common mindset. You know, we're not obviously going to agree on every single thing, but you have to have, I think, just a way of figuring out how you're going to solve the issues, these big issues. And I think, you know, really trying to do it in a way that's practical. Expending our resources on people who don't want the help. I think we can all say we've been there. But, you know, we've also observed and studied other cultures throughout our history. And we've seen at certain points when they've done the same thing, which you're talking about. They accumulate their power when they do that to a point that then they're able to not only defend their values, establish their culture, and push outward. You know, those of us who, you know, don't want the help, I believe at some point in their futures, whatever that comes, they'll reach, what's called a precipice in their lives. And that's, everybody's not going to be on that same timeline. And I think that's some of the struggle which you've expressed, you know, when someone is asking for resources, monetary, in the case in which you were speaking, and yet within that same conversation, as you try to help them understand the economic challenge they're facing and how to solve that problem based on your experience, you know, they want an outcome that, they want the money, but they don't want it in a way in which they feel like, okay, well, no, we're just, you know, we can't solve the problem that way. And I'm like, that's not an Anglo-Saxon thing. That's you point to me the culture, and I'm serious. You point, I don't care if people call themselves capitalists, socialists, whatever other ist they want to call themselves. But when you look at the activities of those cultures throughout the time, you know, of the recorded histories of various cultures and our own as well, and what they do with resources, when you look at economics and not how people want to brand it, capitalism, whatever, you look at what they have done and you will see similar things that have been done. We just happen to be at a point in time, you know, where we have the least throughout the, you know, not just this country, but all countries you point to, we have the least. And I'm sure we're having the same conversation, these same similar conversations amongst our people throughout the world. How do we solve this problem? But expending valuable time, energy, and resources, which are limited, on someone who they don't get it. I just don't think that's the best thing for us to do. It doesn't mean you're turning your back on someone. What it means is that you say, hey, you know, another organization can have a a goal, but what they want to do, which we're all very encouraged by, and we support it. But the strategy, the tactics, the methods, the way in which they accomplish it, if they're not succeeding, and the way in which we go about it is succeeding, at some point people, they figure it, well, and you know, maybe some people just don't, will never get it. And you know, that's sad if that happens. But I think, you know, what will be born out of doing this is that you can get more done with actually, you know, maybe not as many people initially, but you will be able to get more done. And as you accomplish more by working with those and focusing on those of us who have that similar mindset, others eventually will turn. You know, they'll say, well, wait a minute, maybe I need to look at this again. And then understand if it, I would think that if that occurs over time, and which I truly believe it will, that would happen, then there's also an understanding of the mindset and the culture, you know, which is established, firmly established, because you have success that you can point at to say, hey, this is how we did it. This works. It doesn't mean that you won't look at other ideas and ways and things of still moving and advancing forward. But as a group, there are just certain, I think, what we would maybe, I don't know the word for it, I'll just call it a universal common understanding of our values and kind of the way in which we go about things. And people will assimilate to that at some point in the future because they will be taken to the precipice. It always happens in all cultures throughout time, and people have to make a decision when that occurs. You know, sometimes the pain is just not great enough for some people for them to understand what has to be done. It doesn't mean right. You don't love them and care for them and want for them, but you cannot lose yourself and all that you have and, you know, all that you can give by putting those resources and that energy just in the wrong hands, because it becomes tragic. On his own face, that's a sad story that, you know, I'm sure we just don't want to have to tell, you know, right. That we gave our resources to those who simply, you know, were not able
to
do
resources.
The things.
Sure. Yeah, no, yeah. I've done that. I've done that already. That's I mean, I 100% understand, which is the reason why, which is the whole reason for launching BWM like this, is because I went ahead and tried to, like I said, just tried to do it with no understanding, without really trying to figure it out, and squandered resources because I thought it was give. I thought you just give. I thought you just give money. You just give, you know, resources. You just give. That's not what you do. You build a structure so that those who want can receive in an organized way. But it's not going to be. The real frustration came from those who purport to want to build together. And then me thinking back, you know, with me trying to be so free, you know, so generous with my time, so generous with, you know, what it is that I've known, with my experience, you know, the things that I can share with people. I do that freely. And then it's like, you know what, that's like a waste. And then, you know, someone trying to pretty much piggyback on what we're doing, but don't agree with how we're doing it. So I'm saying, if we, you know, if you don't like the way that this organization is structured, then, you know, that's fine. But, you know, we're not coming to you asking you for any of your resources. You're coming to us. We're self-sustained. We're sustaining ourselves. We're not, you don't see us out, you know, asking anybody, hey, could you help us do this or whatever. We're trying to, like you said, turn inward and use our own resources to do something for those. But I think, you know, and I don't know if everyone is internalizing this as much as I am, because I really feel like this heavy burden, like this heavy weight, like I'm trying to just like push this boulder uphill. should just try to have people just open their eyes a little bit and understand what some of the real problems are. One, like so Brother Leonard always says that the trust, right, the cultural collectivity and things like that, those are some of the biggest problems that we're facing, and I'm trying to mitigate those challenges just to get the 2,000 people on board so that we can build the thing to get to the million people, right? So it's like, and I'm like at the point, like, you know what, let's just do it with who we have right now. And yeah, I mean, it just gets frustrating, bro. It just gets frustrating. But I thank you for your insight, because you have a lot of insight, and that's exactly what I was talking about. And you know, I do think at some point, you know, we're just going to have to accept that it is the way that it is. I'm going to give it some serious thought. You know, when this call is over, I'm going to think about it and map some things down. I think better when I'm able to map things down and look at them visually. So. Thank you, Brother Lawrence.
You're welcome.
Peace. Okay, so we got Brother Vaughn, Sister Constance, and then Sister Maya, and then that probably will bring us to the end. Brother Vaughn, peace, brother.
Peace, brother. What's going on? How everybody doing?
All right.
First, I want to say I feel your burden as far as that boulder that you got on your shoulders, but I do want you to know, and I think I speak for everybody when I say you got 400 hands on that boulder now. So, you know what I mean, we gonna work together with you to try to make it a little lighter through these times that we're in right now. In all honesty, like we as a people, we don't have an example of are people doing what we're trying to do. We don't have a blueprint that we can go follow to figure out how do we get a hold of our people and make them come together on something positive and put forth the effort and put the work in to make it happen for us by us. We don't have that example. And I say that to say that's why the boulder's so big. Like, we don't have that example. So with that, it's like with all the examples we got, like, they kill our leaders. Anybody who tries to do something for us, like they like Black Wall Street, you know what I mean? The Maid family, the Maid movement, like, you know what I mean? They attack our people who try to do what we're trying to do. The difference with you and what you did and the way you did it is the difference in what we got going on is we're not one city of people in one little area trying to make it happen. We are nationwide. We everywhere. Like, you can't just come to Cincinnati and do something here and make the movement stop, because everywhere else is going to stand up even taller and stronger. Like, wait a minute, what y'all doing to them? Wait a minute, hold on. Now we all in this together. And that's a difference maker when it comes to trying to do what you're trying to do. So the right path, like, don't trust. I see it totally different than I've seen. I'm looking at a lot of people, like you say, a lot of people like want to do different stuff, but the difference is in the numbers. And the stretch out and how wide angle you have it. We definitely we're going to have to use and target our like-minded people first, because like right this very moment, right now, we really can't help nobody. We got to get the foundation together before the help starts anyway. So. The foundation is the like-minded people who are going to push for this movement and make this movement real smooth for all of us as one. So we got to do that. Like, that's a must. Because, like you said, it seems like a big old waste of time trying to help somebody who really don't want to be helped. And they do, but they scared. Like, for the most part, like, what it boils down to is people don't want to invest in us as a people because the fear of failure. And it ain't that you might not have a good business idea or something like that, but they just know that if you do the right thing the right way, they're going to come take it, or tear it down, or do something to destroy it. And now these people that came from like mountaintops and stuff like that, or had it and was doing all well and all that, now their whole reputation destroyed and can't do nothing. Like, you know, look at Bill Cosby. What they tried to do to Bill.
Yeah.
He wanted to start a news network. And a lot of people don't know that. Like, really, like when the scandal first came out, first thing I said is, I wonder what he was trying to do. Everybody else like, wow. And I'm like, I wonder what he was trying to do. He was trying to start a news network for our people that would have been in competition with their news network.
Right.
And they didn't want to help him, so he was going to do it on his own. Nah. Straight scandal, boom. So, try to ruin his whole career, take him all the way clean out. So, it's like the fear of, if we help us, they're gonna destroy it. They're gonna destroy it. But the strength is in the numbers. So we have to start with those like minded. We gotta go like minded first. We gotta get us all together first, because like I said, you started the one, and from one you 400. You know what I mean? Just imagine if the 400 get 400 in the next year. How deep we'll be. Like, but it's gotta be those like-minded. That we have to be, the foundation has to be that, because anything else is like a cancer, and you know what cancer does.
Yeah.
Even though it's cool, you still know what it does.
Yeah,
and I just think, like, it's a fear of us being successful, what comes if we try to be successful and self-sustained in the manner in which we are trying. What we're trying to do, like, we can get a whole lot of money and like, they'll let us entertain and do all that, and they'll pay us for it, and get, you know what I mean, it's focused billionaires and millionaires and all that. You can get a whole lot of money because they know you ain't putting it back in your neighborhood. So with that, they don't care. As soon as they try to do something for us, it's attacked, and we got to be prepared for that. So that's why we have to start with the like-minded people, so that we can get that understanding first. And when the trickle-down comes, people come into the door knowing we all over. We everywhere. We're not just right here. Like, we can jump in the car and go state to state and pull up on our people everywhere, every state, on our way to anywhere we want to go. And we welcome, we cool, we good. It's all over. Like, and that type of camaraderie, that type of knowing, like, we are together like that, that'll pull in millions of people. Like, it'll be like a waterfall. Everybody gonna start coming because they gonna see and they gonna feel safe in what they doing. They gonna feel the security. Like, they got security in this move. The security in dealing with my people. Now dealing with our people, we got security, and nobody gonna do nothing to us, and nobody gonna take it away from us, and nobody gonna stop us from building and bettering ourselves, because that's what we're doing, and we so strong and so big, and we nationwide, they can't do it now. So we gotta show them that. People gotta see that, and they gotta see that it's a safe, secure surrounding us as a whole. We are safe and secure, and then they'll catch on to, they'll start listening to you then, put it like that. Folks are listening to
brother. Thank you so much, brother. I know what you're saying. I agree with what you're saying, man. I'm just like, you know, when we get to that point, you know, it's like, are we going to, we might be burnt out. Like, see, I'm paying attention to everything that other organizations have done. I study. I'm looking at what worked and what hasn't worked. A lot of organizations fail because people get tired, because our people wear them down. And so I knew that coming in. That's why you always hear me talk about the system, right? Because a system doesn't care about the people butting up against it. The system is going to get up and it's going to work, you know, rain, sleet, sunshine, hail, whatever, right? It's going to work,
right?
And again, and so what I was saying is, right, in order to build the system, then it needs to be, the load needs to be spread across many, many shoulders, right? So that way it's no one person carrying the full load. And I'm glad you said, you know, we got the 400 hands, which actually is actually 800 hands. We got 800 hands on the boulder or whatever. But what I'm saying is, even still with that, we probably have people with, like, the hand on the boulder, and maybe they're not pushing, or, like, it's just madness. It's just madness because of the nature of what we're dealing with in regards to all of the different problems with our people. And I just want to get to the point where the system is just working on its own, because the system can deal with all the negativity. The system can deal with the nonsense. Because that's how all the other people have done it. They have the systems. So let's just take the Jewish community. They have the systems with the synagogues and the yeshiva schools and all of that stuff. Their children are born. Their children are indoctrinated into their culture as soon as they're born. They're indoctrinated into the culture. They're taught how to manage the finance. They're taught how they should conduct themselves.
You hear what you said, though? They do. It's from birth. You know what I'm saying?
No, I get it. And that's what we're trying to get to.
You starting that from a firestorm. Like you going to say you pulling people out of a firestorm, and you got to drive through an ice storm to get us to a rainstorm so that we can at least try to get to the clear. You starting something that. In generations, people, they'll be born like this. They'll be born with the mindset that you have right now, and the way we think right now, they'll be born with that. Like, we starting that, but we starting it from oh my goodness, we starting it from the pits, like deep down under the volcano. We got to get everybody from there. Like, so it's going to be rough, and we got to know that. It's going to be more than just rough, though, because we haven't even seen the opposition. We haven't even had opposition.
We just fighting ourselves.
Folks run from opposition like, it's unbelievable. And I'm talking about them diehards that are there for life and they kill for you and die for you. So as the opposition comes, I can't do this. You know, so it's like we still fighting just to get together. Like, folks don't even want to get together. We haven't done it yet. You know what I mean? Nobody's done it yet. So it's we at that point, and I know, trust me, I know it's gonna be a nice one, and I feel you on the get being burnt out. You know what I mean? But man, I'm so tired of this. I can never be burnt out on trying to help or trying to do something for us. After living this life like this, to try to do something for change, I'm to the grave with it. I'm cool.
It's just like surprised and blown away by the people who sing. You know, I'm all on board. Let's be on board. Let's actually do something. We're saying, okay, cool, we're doing something. And even we can't get it together. So that's just, you know, that's just crazy to me. But I'm not going, we got a couple more people in the queue. And I thank you, brother, for weighing in, man. You always have something insightful, man. And you also strengthen my resolve too, brother, because you fully get me, man. You fully get what this organization is about, man. And you know you have your eyes wide open in regards to the challenges that we're facing with our people, bro. And that's one of the main things that I was saying, like, the accurate thinking, the accurate picture of where we truly stand as a people. There's so very few of us, and I'm wondering if it's just only us, because it's always been just like that all throughout history.
Right.
So thank you for weighing in, brother. Thank you for weighing in.
No doubt. Thanks for letting me.
All right, peace. Sister Constance, lay it on the line, sister.
Brother Lou.
Jesus,
I'm glad you're letting us sharing your frustration. It's a way to get it out. I really don't know where to start. Pretty much, everybody pretty much touched on what I wanted to say.
Reiterate it. Take it from the top and reiterate it.
What I will say is the one thing that keeps coming to my mind and in my heart is, yes, you definitely have to work with like-minded people. And on top of that, what keeps coming to mind is I was listening to a talk by a lady named Yvette Carnell, and she said you got to know your people. Just because they are black or African-American, however you identify yourself, just because they look like you, that don't mean that they are family. And we got to go back to establishing and asking questions. Who are you? Who your mama is? Who your daddy is? What you believe in? You got to start, you know what I'm saying, asking questions and establishing who you're dealing with. And I feel like a part of what you're going through on a day-to-day basis, where with some of your frustration is coming from, is you're dealing with people who say one thing, but their actions is different. That's just the process of elimination, I feel like, you know what I'm saying? And that's unfortunate that, you know, because you're kind of on the front line of things, that's what you're going to experience, and that's just the process of elimination. So now you can, you know, scratch another name off the list, and you know you don't have to waste your time with those type of people. But it's definitely important, you know. I feel like, you know, one of the common denominators in a village is, you know, they speak the same language. So I don't know if, you know, once this organization get established, you know, I don't know if it has to be something as far as, you know, establishing some type of a lingual or some type of signal to say, hey, brother, sister, we on the same team. So that pressure or stress, we can eliminate that part of trying to figure out who we're dealing with.
On the members call, on the call the other day, that's what we started. That's what we've been doing the past couple of training with Brother George. We've been establishing and figuring out exactly what our commonalities are, who we are as, you know, the like-minded brothers and sisters, who we are as a group, so that we can basically, you know, have a self-definition for ourselves. So that way when we do interface with other people, we can say this is what we are. Like, I have notes, basically, you know, and I've been saying this for, like, the past couple of calls, and, I mean, I'll do it again, you know, at the end of this one. The characteristics that we all express that we share, you know, and I'm telling you, I'm finding this, it's repeating itself over and over and over. So I have some comfort in knowing that there are things that we all have in common, that we all identify with. And like Brother Vaughn just said, like, every time he talks, he gives words to the things that are in my heart. Like, every time, like, in my head and in my heart, he always does that. Like, and then so, and Sister Ma, she'll come and she'll say something that I'll be thinking about or whatever, but, you know, maybe I didn't want to just bring it out, right? Brother Cujo, he's in the queue now, so he's about to get on. He's probably going to end the call tonight. And, you know, we build all the time. These are brothers and sisters who have totally internalized the problems and then saw the solutions or saw pieces of the solution before I even came along, before even speaking to me, before meeting me. And then now that we're able to find these little pieces of the puzzle and bring these people together who understand, Brother Lawrence explained something in terms of, you know, how, you know, in terms of us wasting our resources. We've all been there. We've all tried to talk to someone, you know, but he said he's not even surprised anymore. So he, you know, so these are all characteristics. These are all experiences. Those of us who get it, those of us who understand what we truly stand for, they've been down that road. And then so me, I guess maybe in our messaging to people, where we communicate to them. And actually, I have been communicating to people some of the things, some of the commonalities that we have in terms of, you know, being trustworthy and you know, being a trustworthy person and also willing to trust, you know, your brothers and sisters, wanting to be a part of something bigger than yourself, and, you know, all of these other different characteristics that we've identified about ourselves at our members meeting. But I thought seeing other organizations, like, and I mean, I guess that's really my big surprise. My big surprise is seeing other organizations. An organization that is actually doing something. And it's cool that, you know, that you're on the line, because they were talking about doing something and coming down to BMO. We were talking to this guy about finding a space down there. And I said, I have somebody who's down there who could go check things out for us. But just like they're committed. They're committed to helping. They're committed to doing something for the community. But then it's like, you don't want to help yourself, or like you can't understand where your problem is. You won't be able to help for long. You haven't been able to provide services for 3 days out of this week so far. We're on Thursday. I don't know if, you know, matter of fact, so there's 4 days because it's Thursday. So you haven't been able to provide services all week. So yeah. you have the commitment to help the community, but the community didn't see you help anything, so it's like you just didn't even do anything.
And that's another thing that we face. Not only do we have to understand how to come together as a community, you know, we all are in different places in our lives, and we are all on our own journey. And people don't even think about life, you know, the same way. So that's on top of being Black and trying to figure it out. It's like life in general trying to figure it out. So it's like getting together with like-minded people, and also like-minded people to understand that it has to be, you have to come into this with your ego to the side. You have to be selfless. You have to understand that, and that's part of the foundation. You can't come in and say, well, my idea is this and my idea is that, when it's not geared towards the goal, when it's not for the common good of our people. So to answer your question, are we trying to help people who don't want to be helped? I look at it differently, like whether we are or we aren't, like if it's coming from your heart, if you move from your heart and you want to set out to accomplish something and it's coming from your heart, you already got to know that you're going to face certain things, certain obstacles, and that's only to better you. You know what I'm saying? Because like the young gentleman said before me, we facing this just trying to get ourselves together. So imagine when we get ourselves together and we staring the enemy dead in the eye.
Right.
Then you dealing with maybe some people are not willing to take that step. So where we came together and got ourselves together, now we looking down the barrel of what you may perceive as a gun. What you going to do now? Now you got to deal with members who you thought was on your side, and it's just not really built to go to the next step. So, you know, you got to, you know, really dig your feet deep down in the ground and just be ready and be willing. And when things come, like I told you in the conversation before, some stuff you just got to let bounce off of you and just move forward in your faith and knowing what your goal is. And when you look to your left and your right, who's still there, that's who you got rocked with.
No, I know. So I'm saying this from the perspective of analyzing and understanding the data and thinking about this from – I'm thinking outside the box, right? Because the question that I was thinking to myself is, are we trying to solve a problem that doesn't need to be solved, is what I'm saying. Are we approaching this problem – from like the like a door that says push, right, we're supposed to push to go in, maybe, and we're pulling, is what I'm saying. Like, are we approaching this the wrong way, right? Because when we talk about like the Black community, like in a collective, right, we're usually talking about areas that need the help. So we're talking about like BMO, Chicago, we're talking about some places in New York, we're talking about some places in Atlanta, you know, Detroit, places like that, right? So that's what we're usually thinking in terms of areas where we know our brothers and sisters need help, and we want to try to provide resources and sustain what's going on. When we think about that, I'm saying to myself, are we approaching this the wrong way, right? Are we trying to get the buy-in? Are we trying to get the understanding of those groups of people to come on board and start building? Or do we need to just worry about the brothers and sisters who she think, who already understand, build something with them, build something that's valuable, build something that makes sense to them? And like, so I gave the politics, I gave the political aspect, I use that, the economic structure, right? I use that, right? Those are something that all of us, no matter what condition we're in right now, we all can benefit from that. Because I've seen a lot of money in my life. I've done a lot of things, right, a lot of experiences. But I still messed up a lot of money because there's just certain education that we don't get in our community. We just don't know. Like, most of our people don't know what to do with big money. So all we know to do is go buy a big house and cars and go out and jewelry and clothes. We don't know really how to invest that and make, you know, make investments for the future and things like that is what I'm saying. So
it's layers. It's so many layers. All of that stuff will come, that stuff that can be provided by the organization. Because, no, a lot of us don't understand economics. A lot of us don't understand how to build wealth. A lot of us not even thinking about how to build wealth. A lot of us don't even know that we should be thinking that. You understand what I'm saying? So when you say we're approaching it, I don't think so. I think we need all of the above. We need the political standpoint because, like you said earlier, you said, you know, the police don't bother you where you at. But who's to say, I mean, we don't know what tomorrow. They may not bother you. They may not be bothering you today, but maybe you come across some cocky cop tomorrow who think that he can do X, Y, and Z. We need to build a system and build a system that if something like that does happen, it will be rectified.
Absolutely. But when I'm thinking about it, like in terms of a pressing matter, I'm thinking about like where the cops pull up on you. So like you know, in Brooklyn, like when I go to Brooklyn, the cops stop and frisk. They still doing it. It's against the law, and they still do it. They're not even supposed to be doing it anymore. They still do it. I'm sure they do it down there where you are, right? They're just totally breaking the law. Like I've seen when the cop was planting the drugs on it. The cops planting the drugs on these dudes. Like, that's what I'm saying. So I'm just saying though, like, what I mean, I agree with you in terms of all of the above, but I'm talking about our immediate focus is essentially what I'm saying. So we're both saying the same thing. I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just saying maybe our rallying cry should just be, listen, like-minded people who are looking for XYZ right now, instead of saying, let's try to totally rebuild what's going on in the black community, how about we are building an economic structure for those who are ready for economics, right? So even if you don't know about wealth, if you don't know about this, but you have a job right now, and you know you should be managing your money better, and you know you should be doing this, maybe that's what we should be focused on, something like that. Is what I'm saying.
We definitely need to focus. We definitely need that.
Right.
That
yes,
way we know how
I'm
to
saying.
Do. We definitely
right.
need. But, no, I wouldn't say trying to help people who don't want to be helped. Because I mean, if they don't want the help, if they ain't having kids, it becomes our problem anyway.
Right. Right.
And we built this organization. We'll see how we move. People will gravitate. It's energy. Positive energy, they gravitate. The people who it's meant for, they will gravitate. And then the more kids that we can get, the more babies we can get, the more institutions and community centers that we can build, I mean, it will be all for the better.
I agree. All right, we got a few more people. It's 11 o'clock now. We're going to let it run just a little bit. You have anything you want to add, Summary Sister?
Just remember to breathe, my brother.
You're so easy going. All right, cool, sir.
All
thank
right.
you, sister. All right, mm-hmm. peace. Sister Ma.
Hello?
Yes.
Can you hear me? Hi.
Real quick, I wanted to – thanks for taking me again. I wanted to respond or just mention, Baba, I didn't hear the whole conversation at the beginning of the call before you started the official call, but I just wanted to tell the brother if he's ordered anything from our Baba, because I do expect it to take twice as long as they quote, because the U.S. Customs holds it and goes through your stuff like nobody did. They'll tear it up and don't care, and it'll get to you, you know, in double the time that it's supposed to. But also, Wavette, I actually met her on LinkedIn as well, and I'm not white. But I just wanted to kind of plug her because she is a really professional person, and we were able to connect on so many levels, not just being, you know, black and female, but both have being widows. And, you know, when she shared her story, it was just heart-wrenching. We both like, sat there and cried, and it was just because we had similar experiences. But she really is an awesome professional, and I think that when we talk about building wealth, because so many people that get on these calls are interested in, you know, feeding their own, right, and what can they're kind of coming to get versus coming to give before they really get a full understanding. But a lot of people are still looking to say, you know, how can I help somebody else if I can't help myself? And something I learned a long time ago about building wealth is, like Wavette said, is a lot of people do it through insurance policy. So I really think that that's something, once, you know, that maybe you can invite her to do on a members call, is basically how you build wealth through insurance. Because, like you said, more of us have policies, but we consider life insurance as burial policies versus life policies, which is what they're actually called. And you, that passed down just years.
You're breaking up, sister. I didn't hear anything. You're breaking up.
Okay. How about now?
Okay.
Am I clear? I was saying several years ago when I first started working at law firms, I used to see these wealthy people coming into our law office when I worked in the probates and wills department, and they were passing down literally scholarships to unborn children. And that really tripped me out. And I'm like, how can they do this? They literally were putting, you know, wills together and policies, and they were giving big donations to these elite colleges like Cal Berkeley, UC Berkeley, Stanford, all the top colleges. And they would say, it would literally just be a blank line that this child literally has a full scholarship to Stanford College.
Wait, hold on. Let's keep this on this topic, because we're already
anyway, there's just a lot that we can learn. My point is, I think we need to get like-minded people, like you were saying, I believe. And then Brother CJ also texted me. He's on the call, but he's busy and distracted and can't talk, but he said he's also on board with getting like-minded people and actually building something together with those of us who are already on the same page. And he's definitely there financially and in terms of volunteering his time when we get something, you know, going. And lastly, I just wanted to say that we are so behind, like Leonard Ockham says, years in our thinking. I know people who invest who don't even know each other, don't see each other. Trust is not an issue. They basically have their business together. They form LLCs. There's these investment pools where you, like, $100,000 minimum buy-in or whatever. These people never meet. They never talk. They never see each other. They just have their attorneys look at the paperwork. They say, we're all going in on this, and you put in your money, boom, you get paid. And it's like, why do we have to do so much seeing each other, betting each other, trust? You know, our trust is just, we are just so, so far behind. So I really just agree that I think should just move forward with like-minded people. And then, like some, you know, sister said, other people, once they see the positive energy, they see something actually occurring, they will just come along. But I think we need to build quickly together with those of us we have. And I think in terms of the brothers, the last thing, saying that there was, you know, there's 800 hands because there's 400 of us, but I think we also should be responsible to bring in one other person. I think it's easy to get one other person to join. If we have all 400 people committed to bringing one other person in, we already have, you know, 800 people. We can get to that 2,000 number real easily. And if we do three each, I mean, I think that should be sort of a mandate or something that's put out there to the members that, you know, we really need to start recruiting and not just leave it to you and the internet. Good night.
Okay. All right, thank you. Okay. Brother Cujo. And then we are going to wrap it up after Brother Cujo. Peace, brother. Brother Cujo. Okay, so you got your fancy earpiece on, brother? All right, so we're having a little technical difficulties with the brother. But I just want to say to anyone here, so normally, like I said, we didn't go through our normal, you know, the normal channels in terms of our call, the way that we usually roll it out. But you can find out what the organization is about in regards to the membership and things like that, blackwalletsmatter.org. You can start on the first page. It talks about the problem. You can hear our solution. You can click to the second page. The second page has our video presentation, which is the blueprint. It's about 36 minutes long. If you have been on this call before, you're not a member or whatever, you know what this organization is about. You understand the level of conversations that we talk about. You understand some of the challenges that we face, and you also understand some of the commonalities. Really quick, let me tell you what the commonalities are when we assessed ourselves. We spoke about, brothers and sisters who want to be a part of something bigger than themselves, those who want to leave a legacy that they can be proud of, those who are willing to trust, you know, our brothers and sisters, and those who themselves are trustworthy, those who have been looking for realistic solutions to the problems we face in our community, those who are willing to set aside personal differences for the purposes of, for the benefit of working for us all, because they understand that white supremacy or the system of white supremacy is designed to oppress us all equally just by virtue of our skin color. Those who understand that the problems we're trying to fix will require time and patience because we have to overcome a bunch of personal, psychological, historical, different obstacles, basically. And then those who are willing to have an open mind about new solutions because you understand that repeating what has been done in the past isn't going to work for us in the future. So if that sounds like you, and you basically, everyone that you heard speak tonight is a member of this organization. So you heard the mindset of the brothers and sisters that we're talking about. If you are a like-minded person, then we are asking you to become a member. Now, this is not even about the membership dues. This is not even about the money, what we're talking about. What we're talking about is actual collective of people who are willing to come together and make something happen. Unlike that brother that I'm telling you about with his organization who doesn't understand that it takes money and resources to even keep infrastructure going, I understood that. And that is the reason why we asked for membership dues, right, because it costs to host us. We have a 1-800 number. We every single person that is on the call, like Sister Mai just said, right, we've reached out to you through our marketing. That cost. And in addition to that, I put in my own money to keep the organization going. So if anyone's worried about, like, oh, but I'm worried about the money or things like that, the people who are part of this membership, the way that we interact with one another, you can understand. So it's not like a bunch of people sitting around having money-grubbing ideas. We're sitting there when we have our calls. We're talking about what kind of businesses we can invest in, what can we bootstrap. And we're not talking about how can we build these things to get rich amongst ourselves. We're saying how can we invest in these things, build these things so that the organization can become self-sustaining. And then we're able to start putting money into these community resource centers that we want to build. So we're talking about how we can fund the goal, the things that we want to do, and without it, like we said, you know, creating the system where it's not hurting anyone's pocket. $10, $25, $50 doesn't hurt anyone's pocket. truthfully, if we're able to build the businesses large enough to the point where we don't need it anymore, the founder, maybe we don't even need the membership anymore. Maybe we don't need it. But I do know one of the reasons that other people excel in business is because they have the cushion. So if we, the brother, or like Sister Maya alluded to earlier on the call, right? So we had a brother, he was talking about business, and I told him, if you're looking to buy a business that you don't have any experience in, there's going to be a learning curve. You're going to need the money to hire somebody who knows what they're doing. There's going to be a lot of missteps that you're going to make. Well, where do you get that money from? You need to either have a rich uncle or you need to have another business that's providing it. But if we have the membership, if we have the membership dues will allow us to jump into any industry that we don't understand, and now we have the money and the time to learn the game. The reality of it is the reason we're not in a whole lot of different industries is because we don't know how to do those things. We just don't know how to do it. And so we have to learn. And those of us who do know how to do it, we need to talk to them. So people who are employees, we need to talk to them, and they need to learn how to be entrepreneurs. There's risk with being an entrepreneur. Brother Vaughn is in telecommunications and all these other things. I was looking at some RFPs from some cities that needed that, and they need phone and security and all of this other kind of stuff. They need those types of jobs done. If the brother had a crew and we knew how to apply for reply for the request and knew how to bid and everything, that's an industry that we would be able to get into. Now, I don't know if the brother knows how to do that. I know I looked at it, and I had no idea how would we even go about bidding on something like that, because I don't know what the manpower cost to put in there. I don't know how, based on what they're telling me about the building, how to even spec it out. He will probably know how to do that, but he's traveling, he's working, he's doing what he's doing. That's what I'm saying. Those are the types of things that we need to, those are the kind of investments that we need to make in our brothers and sisters. Now imagine if we was able to take Brother Vaughn, be like, listen, all right, cool, you're working somewhere, you're making $25, $30 an hour, $50 an hour, whatever you're making, here, we're able to pay you, go and learn the game, train the rest of our brothers and sisters, get them in there, and now they have these telecom jobs. That's essentially what has to be done. Those are the types of investments that need to be made. So that's for your ears only, right? So if you're hanging out with us now, it's 16 minutes past the time when we would normally end this call. I see a lot of people here who the vast majority of people are return people. But you already know what we're about. So it's not about the membership, the little money. It's not about all of that. It's just about us having people who understand what is necessary as a group of people, and then doing that, and then let's getting to that next level, because that's what we need. If we don't show that example, if we don't show our people that a group of unrelated brothers and sisters can come together and build something for the benefit of us all, then no one is going to have that example, because all the other people that are out there, all the other different organizations, as from what I'm seeing, is usually about the person who's the founder. Like, they want to be the face. They want the fame. They want the notoriety. They want to be all in the YouTube videos and all in the Facebook videos and talking and screaming to the people. That doesn't work. I studied that. I'm actually trying to create a whole other different kind of system. It's not the Brother Lou Show. I'm not making videos about, you know, every 5 minutes, trying to post on YouTube and Facebook and all these other different things like that, because that's not what we want. We want the notoriety of actually doing something. When people get on this side of the fence to see what Black Wallets Matter is, right? So people look at our social media presence. They think we're one thing. When you get on a call like this, you're able to understand what we're really about. This is an intelligent group. Everyone here is intelligent and well-spoken, and we are, for lack of a better word, well-behaved. You don't hear any ratchetness going on. You don't hear any arguing. You don't hear anyone yelling when they disagree. No, we're having a discussion. We're being respectful. We have sense. That's what we want. We want more, and we need more brothers and sisters like that. We need more brothers and sisters like that. It's too few of us. It's not a lot. I'm telling you it's not. Because we've reached millions of people already from the past year. I mean, when I say millions, I mean millions. Like, just scroll through the page. You'll see we have videos that, you know, millions of views and, you know, all of this kind of stuff. But we get a lot of traffic on the website, all of that. But it's so few who actually are able to cross over. So, again, you know, if anything that I mentioned to you tonight sounds about right, and that sounds like you, those are your characteristics, okay, come back to another call, check us out. You can't log in the members area, because I was about to say you can listen to all the past calls. But we have a call, one of our past calls on, it's on the Become a Members page. You can listen to another call if you're not sure, if you think we're like, I don't even know what to say. We're not, you know, this is not fake, though. This is not a phony group, a phony organization. We don't know each other personally. We know each other from bonding through these calls and through our members' calls and our members getting together and actually sharing with one another. That's what we're doing. And that's how we're actually going to make a change in our community where it can't stop, right? So just like Brother Vaughn said, if they target one person or one group in Cincinnati, that doesn't stop the flow. And that's by design. We want it to be distributed. We don't want there to be a head to be targeted. We don't want it to die. We want every single person to internalize the mission and keep moving forward. So I want to thank you, brothers and sisters. Brother Cujo, what is going on with your phone? He's in the queue. He wants to say something. Hold on. Brother Cujo, is your phone working? All right. We're going to have to catch him next week. Okay. That concludes this call. I want to thank everyone for hanging out with us tonight.
Good night.
Cujo, you sleeping already, I guess. Brother Larry. Yeah, Brother Larry.